Welcome to another Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.
Now, an interesting subject's come up over the recent month or so with the women's AFL footy, Rick. And I saw there was a letter in the Advertiser in a recent Saturday where you've given a strong opinion of it, which was discussed on the Triple M radio show for about 20 minutes by KG and Jar. So tell us a little bit, mate. What's your interpretation of how the AFL footies for the ladies has progressed?
Well, Robert, the first thing I'll do is preface my comments by saying that seeing men and women or boys and girls play sport is wonderful, per se. That's wonderful. My comments in my letter were based around what I sort of feel as if there has been this amazing sort of over-the-top publicity given to this AFL women's competition. And that was what the basis of my letter was. It basically suggested that the amount of publicity was over-the-top, and I questioned the concept that why the unbelievably successful women's Australian sides, the Opals, the Hockey Roos, the Diamonds and the Matildas, the netballers and the hockey players in particular, well, basically world champions, how they've never received four complete pages in the Advertiser day in and day out. And I just think that they must wonder what they've done wrong to be at the elite level. They're at the world elite level, and these girls, I've got nothing against them, and if people want to go and watch them play footy, that's fine, but the media is basically labelling them as elite players after two games and what, 6 months of training. Most of them have come from other sports, so I think it's a bit over the top.
I think the way I look at it, I tend to agree with a lot of your points. There seems to be a situation where there's no development, and they've just coddled this idea together, and they've got Aaron Phillips from basketball, etc., and they've chased athletes, and they're putting it together to market it. So it's a marketing type ploy. It's to get the AFL's trying to get more women into supporting the football, I suppose. I've got nothing against ladies playing football, playing whatever sport they choose to play. What I'm offended by is the way they call it elite, and they've manufactured this type of competition, and they've got the media on board. And like you said, I lament also the lack of publicity for not only women's sports, but a lot of men's sports. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, the SNFL in itself would give their right leg to get this much publicity.
Look, you've mentioned a number of words which are just so accurate in the situation as it stands at the present time. They are not elite sports people. You cannot become an elite sportsman or woman after 6 months training or 6 weeks training, let alone moving over from one sport to another. You may be very talented, and of course, I guess all good sports men and women have the ability to move from one sport to another to some degree with some success. But to label it the way it is, and I really believe that the other two things that you mentioned are absolutely true. It is a magnificent public relations exercise conducted by the AFL, which is basically run by men, to gather women around them and popularise the concept. And the other thing you mentioned as a marketing tool, it's obviously proving, at least at this moment in time, to be very successful. I would suggest that we should wait until later into their very short season to see just where the land lies and to see whether the absolute bubble of enthusiasm is still maintained.
I think, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think the government puts out grants to encourage women's sports, and I would much rather see that money going into the development of athletes who have done the long haul. You know, another Kathy Freeman sort of as an athlete, another Dawn Fraser in the swimming. You know, even, you know, some of the athletes that come from overseas, like a Tatiana Gregoriana, these type of athletes, they're some of the best athletes historically and even over the last 10 years or so who I look up to and respect because of the hard work that they did to get to where they are. Then I look at in the recent Olympics, we won a gold medal in the rugby seventh, which is a little bit similar in how that was cobbled together. But they won the gold medal, so you can't really complain about that.
Oh, no. Look, I'm not wanting or wishing to make any commentary on the people that are there. The people I feel, or the girls, the ladies I feel sorriest for of all, are the ones that have been playing Aussie rules football for the last 20 years, and no one would even know that they've been playing it. But they're not the ones that have been drafted into this AFL Women's League. They've basically gone about getting sporting names, sporting female names, and converting them to footballers in the name of popularity, in the name of being able to publicise it. And so you've really got the absolute foundation of female Aussie rules footballers who've really almost been neglected in the whole concept in an attempt to promote a game by using more popular names basically dragged from other sports.
Yeah, to me it sort of reeks of a gimmick, and I look at aspects of past Winter Olympics where you had Steve Bradbury, where he won the gold medal in the speed skating when all the competition fell over, and the human heartstring tugging of Eddie the Eagle on the big slopes when he did the ski jump, and all those types of things really are moments in time which are very appealing. But how long is the women's football going to sort of sustain the interest long term without development?
Look, again, I completely agree with you, and I think the other worrying thing is that maybe in 20 years' time, if it is a raging success and you've converted a great number of young girls with the desire to become AFL footballers, then maybe we have to rethink the thing. But I question, the physique of the female body as against the physique of the male body and what is demanded or required to play Aussie rules in a competitive spirit. And then you look at whether, if it turns out to be popular, whether you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, in that your tall athletic netballers, or who might have been tall athletic netballers, choose to play Aussie rules, etc. The same you could say with hockey or whatever, that these young girls, if it is popular, may take away, and therefore less girls will choose to play these proverbial female sensational games like basketball, netball, etc. The parallel that I draw is that, you know, I'm old enough to remember just how good the West Indies cricket team was. And you had, you know, tall, fast black bowlers and brilliant batsmen, etc., etc. And now they've reached a stage where there are some people saying that they shouldn't even be in the top echelons of Test cricket because their standard has sunk so much. And of course, there's a very easy explanation to that, and that's because the West Indies have discovered, the talented sports people, that there's far more money involved going to America and playing baseball or gridiron. And so once upon a time, first choice was cricket, but now it's no longer, and the demise of cricket in the West Indies is quite incredible.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because in a way they're doing the same thing with the women's football. They're sort of developing it to from other sports to play in the AFL, sort of from basketball, et cetera, similar to how the West Indies cricketers are going to other sports. The AFL football is obviously a much higher profile, especially the way the media sort of got on board and done all that.
Yes, and I guess the big answer in the end is that if it's successful, then it will generate more money, and in the end, it will generate more salary for the female players. At the moment, from what I understand, all of them have got full-time jobs, and although the money that they're receiving is considerably more than virtually naught that the genuine Australian rules footballers were playing in their local leagues. But it's all surrounded by the mighty dollar and the mighty promotion, I find. And I guess the reality is that only time's going to tell as to how popular it is. There's a false mirror going on at the moment because, apart from anything else, the crowds are fantastic. We've talked about the media coverage and the television coverage, but the crowds are there. They're getting in for nothing. And it will be interesting to see what happens when they actually have to pay an entrance fee.
Yeah, it's interesting. The fact is that the AFL have a media machine and they're getting right behind this. So they're putting the money right behind this. And as you say, they have 10 to 15,000 people have attended some of the games, but they didn't have to pay to get in. If they had to pay $5, $10 to get in, I would suggest that crowd would halve.
Totally agree with you. It is, I mean, I guess it's like many investments in the world. Sometimes you've got to invest money to try and make money, and the AFL have decided in their wisdom or otherwise that this is the way to go, to get the females on board, not only from playing the game, but supporting the game, etc. And at the moment, it seems as if it's a wonderful, raging success, but it is still smoke and mirrors time, I think, at the present time.
I'm just wondering, what's the situation going to be like when there's wholesale injuries, when there's a whole range of different things that come in? It's just, I think it's happened too quickly. I think what they should have done is had a few demonstration games maybe this season and build it up to next season and develop through the juniors, develop the current women's football leagues around the place, and then sort of have a pathway. There's no pathway that's been created here.
No, it's all happened in a huge rush. The other thing, and this certainly isn't designed to be a sexist comment, is that the male and female bodies are physiologically different. We all know that AFL male footballers spend half their time in a gymnasium off-season and pre-season building up their body strength to enormous levels to accommodate the physicality of the game. Do girls and do we really want to see females with the musculature that the AFL have got? And if some of them choose to do it, then it's almost going to be that they're going to all have to do it to keep up with the Joneses, as it were. And so the whole thing, to be honest, I think of all the codes of football or virtually any sports, because of the physical contact of AFL, I personally think that it's probably the least suitable game for girls to play. I can see no reason why they shouldn't be as competitive and successful in basketball, netball, hockey, etc. But as I said, the physicality, I just don't think it's really a suitable game for them. But time will tell.
My personal view on that, the comment I have is that if women want to play that sport and they want to develop and become muscular, I've got no problems with that. But do it correctly. Do it along a development line so that they can pursue their careers in an AFL competition down the track rather than have it forced on them and bring in all these players from other competitions, from other sports. I would have just much rather seen it develop naturally rather than be hoisted upon us and, you know, everyone gets in for free so that we can get numbers and we'll push the media and this will work. We have to make it work. And some of the comments I've heard around the place is that if you don't agree with it, they call you a sexist. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, they've asked an opinion about something. We're not even allowed to have an opinion.
Very true. Couldn't agree more. And it was very interesting. I think you've hit the nail right on the head that one of, I can't recall who it was, but one of the senior coaches in the Adelaide Crows football club was actually talking about that they've almost put the cart before the horse in that they've got these girls out there playing footy and at a highly, they're going in pretty hard. But he said, we've got to go backwards and teach them how to protect themselves because they've been rushed into the situation and they haven't got those protective skills. So they're sort of, at the moment, injuries waiting to happen, I think.
Yes, it's a very interesting subject. I'm sure we can have another discussion once it sort of ends the season and we can have a bit more of a review and sort of see how things go. So thank you for listening. It's a Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.